B-Pod Studios.
Farzetta and Trey in the morning.
Line with us right now from Philly.com, from the Philadelphia Inquirer, Mr. Marcus Hayes joins us. Marcus, good morning, sir.
Morning, gentlemen. How are we?
Well, I'm doing excellent, because I read your article the other day about Joel Embiid, Marcus, because I'm looking for reasons to be optimistic, even more so than I am going forward with Joel Embiid's career. And a lot of people look at him and say, he won't grow up, he's not mature, he's always going to want to, as you point out in the story, play video games or have the Chick-fil-A and all that other stuff. But your story gave me cause for optimism that maybe this was that career-defining victory where this is the turning point for him.
Well, it's interesting. The comparison I should have drawn and thought about afterward was, I believe it was 1999. Can't remember which game it was. It might have been late in the year. Head coach named Andy Reid had this extremely talented left tackle on his team. But this extremely talented left tackle, who was very mature to begin with, I mean, this guy at Florida State had done things for his family and his teammates that didn't get a lot of publicity. And he was very, very bright. Not that great looking, but, you know.
Yeah, devilish looks. Yeah, so, he was a handsome young man.
That's all subjective.
So, all right, right.
This tackle was, I think, benched for the first half of a game. And it didn't get as much publicity as the other issue earlier in the season when the right tackle, George Hegeman, quit the team, came back, was punished, then cut. But this episode with the left tackle, from my perspective, and I think he has spoken to it since, was kind of a turning point in his career, and he went on to have, you know, kind of a borderline Hall of Fame career. And that moment, you know, was really one of the moments that turned the franchise around. People forget that in the 90s, the big issue with the Eagles was offensive line over and over and over again. Is Barrett Brooks any good? You know, is this guy going to be any good? Is that guy going to be any good? But once this guy, Trey Thomas, had established himself as an elite left tackle and they added John Runyon, that's kind of been the formula since. And you look at the left and right tackles now. So all that said, I think that sometimes guys who are essentially good guys, massively talented, need a kick in the butt, a readjustment, a recalibration to help them forward. Because what we forget is these are very young men, and most of them have not had the same sorts of challenges that other 24, 25-year-olds have had. They have different challenges, not the same sorts of challenges. And for a lot of them, by the time the first day they work, they never have to work again. So I don't know what you guys think about that comparison, but that's the feel that I got. And, you know, Trey Thomas, who I believe is on your show.
Oh, he is sitting right here.
Trey Thomas was never the degree of immature that Joel Embiid is and was, but he's also not an NBA basketball player. You know, they're not the same person, but they have similar abilities, and at similar points in their lives, you know, I think Joel Embiid is ready to take a big step forward, because the same as Trey, you know, the way he acted after game 5 when he was humiliated by Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal. And how ironic is that? Those guys talking about professionalism.
I know, right?
When you're humiliated by, you know, the round mound of rebound and a guy who took most of his offseason playing like parts of genies and stuff like that, and, you know, people in general are questioning you for the first time, which again is something Trey never went through, I think it really changed him. And I think those tears after game 7 were tears of regret. They were tears of, you know, utter exhaustion. They were tears of real, raw emotion. And I think now being the best, not being the best basketball player, but winning the most games is the thing that's most important to Joel Embiid, as we saw in game 6 when he was a plus 40 but only scored 17 points.
Let's speak with Marcus Hayes, Philadelphia Inquirer, Philly.com, of course. Marcus, that's a great point. Now, when you're looking at... Oh, wait, Trey, you
and that's a great parallel, too, because, yeah, you know, it's kind of around the same age. You know, because because that's right around that 24, 25 age for myself, because I had those years through college, you know, and then you get to the pros, second year, but for him, you know, he could, 1 year college.
Right. You're a kid, be a man now.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So that is right around that same age. Yeah.
And this is only his third pro season. Mm-hmm. He didn't play for 2 years. So, you know, the parallels. The other thing is, like, people forget, in 1999, Trey Thomas was a unicorn. He was huge. He was athletic. He was smart. You know, there might not have been, you know, I believe Orlando Pace was in the league at that point, mm-hmm. Walter Jones. But there were very, very few guys in the history of the NFL with Trey Thomas's pedigree and profile. And back then, left tackles weren't given the same sort of love they're given now. Lane Johnson wouldn't have been a top 10 pick in 1999. You know, not being a former quarterback, you know, being a quote unquote project. But the value of Trey Thomas today would be astronomical. Trey Thomas was, you know, is a special player and he was a special prospect, just like Joel Embiid.
Speaking with Marcus Hayes, Philly.com, Philadelphia Inquirer. Marcus, so when you look at Joel Embiid, and obviously there's another aspect to this with the Sixers in general, but it's also going to Ben Simmons. So people are hoping that you're right, that the Joel Embiid does mature this offseason, take his talent more serious. But then they're also hoping that Ben Simmons is a guy that will develop that mid-range game at best this offseason. Do you have confidence Ben Simmons will be able to develop that part of his game before next year?
I don't. I don't. The people surrounding Ben Simmons were cast by Brett Brown as being people who will hold Ben Simmons accountable. I have not seen that at all. Ben Simmons, I guess, enticed his brother Liam to leave his, you know, kind of an arrival assistant coaching job at UC Riverside last summer, and to make him a better basketball player, but especially to work on his shooting, to be his shooting coach. And it's just embarrassing, you know. It's not embarrassing how bad the shot looks, because it looks terrible.
Yeah.
But it's embarrassing that he can't bring himself to do something that embarrasses him, and that to me is more than a physical issue. I mean, if Joakim Noah can shoot 15 footers and have that hair, then Ben Simmons should be able to shoot 15 footers, you know, looking like a polo model, you know?
Sure. Now, here's the other part. It's embarrassing for him, sure. But what about your brother? It's your brother, right? You want him to look good, don't you? So don't you want to develop that shot? Don't you want to get over that mental hurdle, if that's what it is?
I've seen Liam work with him on the court. And, you know, let's dispel this myth of, like, Liam only works with Ben Simmons on their time. Liam was on the court in Toronto after practice working with Ben Simmons on his shot. You know, so, you know, there may be team time and our time, but it's not like they're going to the playground and spending, you know, or they're renting out a court or whatever. They're doing it at practice,
right,
or around practice. So, but Liam is telling him to do the right thing. And I got to tell you, when he concentrates, when he focuses, I mean, there is this like myth or this contention that Ben Simmons didn't bend his knees and that's why he wasn't making free throws. I saw Ben Simmons make 11 consecutive free throws, bending his knees with his elbow further in than normal and his hand extended toward the front of the rim, you know, that little eyelet right in the front of the rim. You're supposed to,
sure,
imagine, envision, or visualize the ball going over the front. 11 in a row. It's not that he can't do it. You know, this is all psychological, which is hilarious because now you have, consecutive number one overall point guard picks who can't shoot because they have psychological issues.
Mm. And both
selected by a guy with clear psychological issues.
Yeah, right. But the other aspect of that then is it's two guys that had those shooting problems but also had their individual shooting coaches on team turf, so to speak. Because Drew Hanlon was on the court with Markelle Fultz, and now Liam Simmons is on the court with Ben Simmons.
Yeah, pregame, Drew Hanlon was on the court.
Yeah.
You know? So, yeah, that's always a bad idea. If Liam wants to work with Ben in the summer, that's great. But the last thing Ben Simmons needs, I mean, Ben Simmons' two brothers, mother, father, were in Toronto at the games and at home at the games. But again, he's 22 years old. He reminds me a lot of Carson Wentz. He's insulated himself. You know, if this sounds bad, but he doesn't hang out with the guys. But then he's 22 years old. I don't know if I want him, quote unquote, hanging out with the guys. And I don't think this is a crazy, you know, hang out with the guys team anyway.
Right.
And I don't think the Eagles are either. But he reminds me a lot of Carson Wentz in that he's insulated himself, which protects him, but also doesn't make him grow the way that, you know, Joel Embiid, who's a little bit more exposed, grows. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, for me, you watch Ben Simmons shoot right-handed when he's goofing around. Yeah, you wonder why he doesn't shoot right-handed. I mean, Bo Kimble did it right through an entire postseason at the free throw line.
Yeah, right. No, that's definitely encouraging there. So, Marcus, last thing for you is to speak to Marcus Hayes. You can follow him on Twitter, and I always want to make sure I got this right, Marcus. At Inkstained Dreck.
Wretch.
No, oh, God, why do I always mess that up?
Wretch.
Thank you.
As in what you guys do when you read my story.
So let's just to spin it back to Joel Embiid. Do you believe his diet has played a lot into him not really taking his talent so serious as of yet, but we'll make that turn? Because a lot of people will talk about his diet.
Yeah, and the funny thing is, like, he doesn't drink, he doesn't smoke. Usually when a guy looks like him and gets out of shape as quickly as he does, it's because he's hitting it, right?
Yeah,
and
right.
He's not only hitting it, but he's hitting it and then eating late, mm-hmm. you know? But he doesn't do that. He's not that guy. But I think he's kind of got a sugar addiction. I think he just loves sugar. And he cut sugars out and incorporated a better diet as he entered the playoffs. But again, you know, it's all about inflammation and hydration and flexibility. And those are the things he has to work on more than anything else. I mean, when he came into the league, the comparisons were Hakeem Olajuwon, and now there's Shaquille O'Neal. Well, you know, you take away the Shirley Temples and the milkshakes, maybe it's still Hakeem Olajuwon.
Mm-hmm. Maybe.
I mean, he's clearly not as quick. He clearly has trouble getting through more than 6 or 7 minutes at a stretch. And people talk about, oh, he had so much load at the beginning of the year. I went back, go back and look at either the third year or the 24th going into the 25th year of their lives for Shaquille O'Neal and Hakeem Olajuwon. And you'll see that they played more minutes and had just as many intense minutes in the first 2 weeks of that career, of that year, as Joel Embiid. But they didn't have the same issues, you know? They were just, you know, Shaq didn't get huge until a little bit later. And, Olajuwon, you know, I believe part of his Muslim heritage, you know, he used to fast during the day for Ramadan and mm-hmm. stuff like that. His heritage informed the way he was a professional because he was disciplined to begin with. It wasn't that big a deal. It was a way of life for him. And so you know, the fact that he had a lot of minutes and a lot of games early in the season, to me, falls flat when you look at his age and the comparables, because I think in his 25th year, Shaquille missed like the 10th through 30th game, but that was with an abdominal strain that he suffered in the preseason that reared its ugly head again. But yeah, he shouldn't, at the beginning of the season, you should be able to log heavy minutes in a lot of games. That's why they schedule him that way.
Mm-hmm. Marcus Hayes, we always appreciate you coming on with us here. Philly.com, the Philadelphia Inquirer, Daily News as well. Great to talk to you, my friend.
All right, guys.
97.5, The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking 5 of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on 5 we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top 5? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.